She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Carrie motherfucking Fisher is in it.
I love that there's a magical drug named after me.
He said it'll probably be 3 inches because it'll be men measuring it.
If that is not a Molly statement, I don't know what is.
I don't know what to say about her. She's like a pixie sprite nightmare.
I mean, yeah, that's a terrible idea. And I didn't realize I was like monochromatic until I got on camera. Like, I'm just brown. Brown. What the fuck, Molly?
It didn't change after work, so I'm wearing my Librarian of Mini Humans today. I had to fill in for story time because we've just had so many staff out sick.
Yeah.
There's a bad
neurovirus going around.
Yeah. And just the flu in general. But we are out of snow days for already? The school district here. They have one more left, which will be tomorrow. And we're filming this wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Right.
We're expecting a snowstorm. They're not calling it a blizzard. They're calling it a snowstorm. But we're supposed to get between 6 and 12 inches, like 6 inches to 12 inches. Tom said.
Of course. Oh, boy, Thomas.
He said it'll probably be 3 inches because it'll be men measuring it. They'll just round up to 6.
Men always over-exaggerate.
I've been saying that we're getting the male main character inches.
It was supposed to come here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just cleared out, out of nowhere. But it's been fucking cold. The wind has been so bad.
Yeah.
The wind has been terrible here.
Well, my little free library fell over in my front yard.
Oh, no.
From the wind. Yeah.
Go put Sammy in it so it stays put.
Put Sammy in it?
Yeah. He'll just hold it down.
That's a terrible idea.
You think it'll just blow away? Put Sammy in it?
I think it's bad to leave my son out in the elements.
that's a terrible idea.
Let me tell you what he did.
I mean, he would be in the little free library, so he wouldn't be out in the elements. He would be inside a box inside the elements.
Okay. I gotta tell you what he said at dinner today. It was so funny. He was like making all sorts of weird, I don't know, the inside thoughts were outside. And I just looked at him and I was like, why? And he goes, I mean, why not? And I was like,
if that is not a Molly statement, I don't know what is. Because I can.
Okay.
Why would you say that? I don't know. It was there. I had to give it to somebody. You're welcome. Man. You're welcome for the sharing.
Oh, man. How's your sinus infection doing? Or sinus headache or whatever?
Better. It was part of the neck. I've been really unwell lately. My inflammation is getting bad again.
Yeah.
And it's
I'm sure the weather's not helping.
No. And it's causing all these other problems. And so it just domino affects my body, you know, and I get no control over it. I found a new rheumatologist.
That's awesome.
North of DC, but they're not going to be able to get me in until April.
Gosh. I'm sorry to back-track on this, but I just want to say, man, Amy Award was a great guest.
I loved that episode so much.
That was a great episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to it.
Yes.
She was a great guest. And
she
a lot of times when
so
we...
funny.
Yes. And when we interview authors... You know, a lot of authors are introverts, and you get the dynamic. Let's talk about Heather Webb and Hazel Gaynor. Both awesome interviews, right?
Yeah.
And together, you can see that Hazel's a little bit more extroverted and Heather's a little more introverted, but they both put on a great interview,
and
right?
They pull each other out of their shells.
Exactly. But you've got Amy, who's been in this business for a very long time,
she had
knowledge that we did not have.
Oh, my God. The information I learned, I went to school for publishing and writing.
Yeah.
And the information I learned from her about self-publishing was not a part of my education.
And
wasn't.
A lot of people who are indie authors, self-published authors, they aren't able to do what she's doing. She said that is her full income. That is her full-time job.
I am so freaking jealous.
Even like legit so public, jealous. Traditionally published authors, and that's not their full job. That's not Chessie's full job. Like, she has a job.
Okay, but also our beloved Chessie also is an overachiever. Homegirl has a fucking master's.
I have a master's.
Right, but you don't write novels.
What?
You don't write novels. As a hobby.
Yeah, but I have a lot of hobbies.
I'm not saying you don't.
Like this new Lego project I just finished. Check this out. That's
beautiful. And your journal. Your journal is a new hobby. No, but what I'm saying is like Chessie builds worlds in her free time. It's wild. And she started, if you're not following Francesca Zappia, she's also doing cosplay now with her boyfriend, her partner. Mm-hmm. I'm super obsessed with it. Those Legos are super cute, by the way. Was that a Christmas gift? Yes. Was that your Christmas gift from Tom?
No. Christmas gift was Valentine. Was roses.
See, I this mixed
was,
up.
This was the Valentine's gift.
I mixed up the holiday.
And then I have one more bouquet, but it's with, I have to do that one with Sam because he technically won it in a raffle.
Aww. I got Matt a bouquet for Valentine's Day. Do you want to know what he got me for Valentine's Day?
Sure.
He got me lotion.
What kind of lotion? Oh, wait. I already know the story. Do you want to tell the listeners?
He goes, how do you like the smell? And I go, well, it's really familiar. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, it's my mother's lotion. It's going back. It's going back. Yeah, I go, that's not, why it was really, familiar to you.
Not really what you want.
He definitely had a reaction.
This is our last episode of the romance books, and I think I am ready to not be reading romance.
I'm really excited for next week's book too, though. So let's talk about this week's book.
But before we do, I have literally been reading romance novels since November. Sometimes it's been romantasy, but it's been strictly romance since November.
Is it like a little spongy joy world in there, full of like just people humping?
Sometimes there's too many people humping.
It's just a lot of penises in your brain.
There's a lot of penises. I needed a peen break.
Yeah. Tress is a good peen break.
I showed Tom those TikToks I sent you with the chiropractors where I was like, how is this not like sexually charged? And he's like, do you need to like get some? There's nothing sexual about that. I was like, lies.
It's how they're talking to each other.
He's it's like, I wonder if it moan. Feels like that when I do it to other people. Come on. Come on. Come on.
They know what they're fucking doing.
They know what they're doing.
I'm going to put their things in the comments too so you guys can go see and agree with us. These gentlemen know what they're doing.
And they know what they're doing. Ew. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this week it is You Again by Kate Goldbeck.
Yeah, and I don't have a copy. I listened to the audiobook.
I did too, but I had to buy it to do questions because I struggled with format.
Yeah, there were a lot of format issues with this one, which I know we're going to talk about.
I struggled with format. Would you like a synopsis?
Of course I would.
Okay. When Ari first meets Josh, she is trying to just meet her daily quota. And like every other New Yorker, Josh is just trying to avoid the crazy person on the street who is trying to get him to sign up for something. Did either expect this terrible interaction to continue on later that night? No. But here they are, waiting for Ari's roommate, who is currently dating Josh, but also sleeping with Ari. The two have a tense interaction till Ari leaves, and they both hope that's the end of it. But it's not. You Again follows the struggle of Ari and Josh from their start of dislike to eventually falling in love? All right. First question. You Again is a Goodreads 2023 nominee for Reader's Favorite Romance on Goodreads. And Kate Goldbeck.
That's surprising to me.
I agree. And Kate Goldbeck is new to Pod. Does her writing live up to this nomination? See what I'm saying?
I need to get my thoughts in order. You'd think I would have done that before we, started filming.
So here's what I'll say about it. What was weird for me about it is I noticed the nomination first, and then I went to the ratings, mm-hmm. and most people have this 3 stars or lower.
Yeah, it's totally mid in the ratings.
It is so mid.
Yeah. And I...
As the kids would say.
I... Mid.
Like,
here's the thing. Is it a terrible book? No.
No.
Is it...
Is the banter good? The
best book I've ever read? Definitely not. For it to be a nominee for best... I'm just trying to think of what else came out in 2023 because... I am certain Allie Hazelwood released something. I'm certain that Emily Henry released something. I'm certain that Olivia Pope released something. Like, how is that? Abby Jimenez probably released, like, Megan Quinn. Like, there's just too many authors that, like, why was this?
Okay, so 2023, Happy Place won. Then it was Love Theoretically. Yours mm-hmm. Truly by Abby Jimenez. Lucy's Score, Things We Hide from the Light.
Which I just
romantic
finished.
Romantic Comedy by Curtis Steinfeld, which we did Once More with Feeling by him.
By her.
Final by her. Curtis. Is it
Oh,
Curtis
no. We did not. That's not the same author. That's not the same author.
Oh, okay.
Sussman, the covers just look Eliza the same. Sussman.
Okay. The covers just look the same. My bad. Final Offer, King of Pride, The Right Move, The 7-Year Slip, Wildfire, Meet Me at the Lake, Pucking mm-hmm. Around, True Love. I could go, there's a little, okay, I'm on to almost done.
I've read most of the books on that list. And
that just makes perfect. Powerless by Elsie Silver, In the Likely Event, Hello Stranger, You Again, A Long Time Coming, The Long Game. There's a lot
I've
of
read most of the books on that list, and Happy Place won that year, which is my least favorite. Emily Henry.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite of hers, but a bad Emily Henry is still better than this. Like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't read her again. And it's not that I even rated her that poorly.
She,
like,
she doesn't have anything else. Like, hanging out. That, you know what this reads like? This reads like a draft for, like, an idea draft for a movie. Like, this
I
is
think
what
she read, was watching way too many rom-coms during the pandemic and went down a Nora Ephron hole and was like,
I mean,
I'm going to write.
Rumor.
But, and I don't know her sexuality, so I can't really speak to that, but, I feel like there were some, I'm going to go for cool girl popular vibes. And I'm not saying that everybody that's bi does that. I know that's not true.
What did I text you? What did I text you? I said, it feels like she's trying to write Ari as an extra cast member in Rent.
Mm, yeah. Like, Ari is not a person. She's not
she's a character.
I understand that she's not a real person because she's a character in a book. But to me, this kind of person doesn't actually exist.
Okay,
this is the, but, you've read Gone Girl, right?
Yeah.
You know how she's like, I was the cool girl. I did all these things to be the cool girl. Like, that feels like Ari to me, but in a comedy.
Okay, here's the thing. I can relate to Ari on a couple levels. Sex in your 20s, just have sex in your 20s. Sex for approval. Sex to escape. I can see the human parts of Ari. Mm-hmm. But the way this author turned this character up, turned mm-hmm. her into more of a cartoon of the kind mm-hmm. of girl she was trying to get, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The scene that happens on New Year's Eve where they're at the party and she's on Molly. And I know that you have a question
we'll
about
go back.
This, but
yeah.
It reminded me of a sketch from SNL. Like, I could totally see Kristen Wiig or, oh, what's the woman's name? The blonde who always plays Ellen on, or used to play Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of her name. I'll put it below, but I could see her, Kate McKenna. I could see her, like, doing Ari.
Mm-hmm. But a fake book, like a character.
But that's what I'm saying. She's not real. Like, she doesn't, I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
And I really had an issue with the format of this book because we have, so this is me, English teacher brain.
Okay.
Okay. There's first person point of view. There's second person point of view, which you really don't read very often. It's where they use the you walk into a door, you do this. Mm. It's like choose your own adventure. Then you have different types of third person.
Mm-hmm.
So for third person point of view, you have third person omniscient, where you know everything that everybody's thinking. Okay.
Right.
You also have third person limited. And third person limited is, it is the perspective of one person, but it doesn't use I, it uses she.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
This book tries to use third person limited, but from the perspectives of both characters, and it doesn't separate the voices between chapters. Like, literally, we'll getting a point from Ari's point of view, and then it switches from Josh's, and I could not keep up.
In the audiobook, you literally roll from point of views. If we would have had a dual narrator, male voice, female voice, this might have helped.
But as if they would have done that, but that's not written to be that way. I had to actually, like, I know you bought the physical book.
It was difficult.
I know.
It was difficult.
I know you bought the physical book so you could write questions, but, like, at one point, we were talking about the format, and I borrowed the ebook copy from my library through Libby just so I could see if I was missing pauses in the physical book, in the written book versus the audiobook.
Was not gabbing? What was going on? Like,
there was nothing.
There was nothing. Okay.
And I just needed, and here's me going to defend, go on the editor here, which usually I blast the writer.
And I defend. Yeah.
But I'm going to go on the editor here because you know that this is not a good way to write.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what were you thinking, guy?
Right. You know, when you know that like TikTok sound, it's actually a Vine sound. I brought you gold. I brought you frankincense. I brought you myrrh.
Murder.
Judas. Yeah. An author brings you gold, frankincense, and myrrh. An editor gives you murder. They fix it.
Yeah. They find the diamonds. They cut. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not here.
No.
And I gave the book, what did I give it? 3.25, I think.
I think I gave it
3.25.
3.5.
I gave it 3.25. It's not the worst book we've read this season. But
I like the banter. I like the storyline. There's just problems in it for me.
The thing is, I will say, the audiobook narrator, when she did Josh, she really did a good job with him.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that she said no as his character. Like, Ari would have this like crazy thing and he'd be like, no.
No. No.
He's That's like, not no. happening.
No.
I think it probably would have been better if she would have done dual narration between chapters or wrote like from one person's point of view.
Like in Jasmine Gouliard. Jasmine does a little, you know what I mean? Even in the chapter, there is a physical split. You know we are changing point of views.
Yes.
This is important for readers, especially readers that are not well-versed in romance and like multi-camera movies or whatever your inspiration is.
Well, it's important for readers who are not reading like professors. Like, not everybody reads the way that I do or we do in general, because we read a lot of books.
I mean, how many times have we gone to group chat and one of us of the three has asked about symbolism in a book and the other two are like, you know what I mean? Like, we're
I just
want
to clarify, I have never been the person to ask about the symbolism, and I have always been the person to give you an answer on the symbolism.
And you again, Ari is a struggling comic. When we first meet her, she is working for a nonprofit and is trying to meet her quota when she runs into a grumpy person. That person shows up at her door, interrupts her Netflix and chill. Josh just wants to cook dinner for his girlfriend who happens to be late. What do you think of their meet cue?
So this set up expectations for me that I feel like the rest of the book didn't follow through on. Because when I actually started this book, I started it before you did, and I texted you and was like, I'm really digging this. This is really cool. The expectations were there to be this really good rom-com. And I can't not picture Josh as Adam Driver. Like, he's Adam Driver. And I could picture the streets of New York because it's very much like Harry Met Sally, iconic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is an awkward thing, right? She's hustling because she's an actor, a comic, and most actors don't make money acting. Most comics don't make their living being comics.
Has anyone seen Party Down? Come on.
Yeah. So I think the expectations that were set from the beginning were really good. I just didn't think there was follow through.
No. There was a buildup.
I also don't think it was totally necessary that not only was the roommate sleeping with Ari on occasion, but she had multiple male partners. Like, Josh called her his girlfriend, and for most of this book, I was like, Josh, these women do not like you. What is wrong with you?
Okay, I'm going to defend Josh here. And I complained about him a lot while we were reading this because a male hopeless romantic feels like a farce to me, but that's neither here nor there.
That's Ted Mosby.
I know, but I didn't like Ted Mosby. He annoyed me.
Yeah, but I like the actor, Josh Radnor.
Remind me of Josh Radnor. Anyway. What was I doing? Oh. I've been in relationships where I thought we were being casual. I thought we were, like, chill. And the guy's like, oh, this is serious. This is this. And I'm like, you need to back up, guy.
I just, the fact that he didn't have any idea. She was with another guy while he was making dinner at her apartment. And then his long-term girlfriend, like, the longest relationship Josh has in this book is with a woman who doesn't even live in the same state as him.
Really does not understand setting this boy is so autistic. They set this character up for autism, and
I don't agree.
In the very beginning, there was some autism markers for me, and then it just petered off. Like, she was thinking about it, and then she changed her mind. Like,
I don't think he's autism coded or autistic. I think he's Upper West Side snooty, rich.
But he grew up in a sub shop. He grew up in a deli. He's
not just a deli. He grew up in the deli, as seen on, featured in. There's a lot of nepotism. Like, he's basically Blake Lively as a man.
Whitney.
Except I don't think he would accuse anyone of sexually harassing him.
There we go. For no reason. Okay. The next time the two run into each other, they're both in happy relationship. Mm-hmm. Here's where we get to the New Year's Eve, kind of. Ari is tripping on MDMA. Molly. I love that there's a magical drug named after me. A happy drug.
I think it makes sense.
It does. And happily married to a free-thinking professor, Josh is in the middle of a long-distance relationship. It's New Year's Eve, and they're alone when the countdown starts. Did you expect them to kiss?
No.
I
no, but I gotta be honest. Sorry, go ahead.
This scene felt unnecessary for me. Like, I know we had to shove them together, but
I think that there were better situations they could have ended up in. And here's the thing.
That.
The first encounter that they have together, Josh is all for a relationship. He wants the marriage, the kids, all that. And Ari is not. And not that someone can't change their mind on that. Like, no. I'm not saying that. But Ari's character was never set up to be somebody that was going to actually fall in love. Get married in Vegas? Sure.
Yeah.
But get married and fall in love and then have your heart broken because you start an open marriage and then you're surprised when your wife picks somebody else? Like,
yeah.
No.
She, something traditional scared her. Which, here's the I want to praise the author for one thing. Mm-hmm. Usually I bitch that there is too much backstory and there's too much filler and, like, there's too much of this family and too much of this. We had a complete family for him and we didn't talk about her family. And that wasn't a part of the program and it wasn't a part of the storyline. And I liked that there was clear boundaries in that, but I feel like we might have been able to use it with Ari. You know what I mean? It could have explained some things.
I think the author wanted us to feel like she was so broken that she wouldn't feel like she was worthy of Josh actually loving her. And so that's why she leaves and goes and does this other job. But I never felt like that was her reality.
No.
I never felt like that. I would more likely feel like Josh got his heart broken, realized that he had been such an idiot all this time. Like, your girlfriend has lived far away from you for 3 years. When she moves back, you've bought a place for the two of you to live. And she's like, nah, I'm going to go live somewhere else. And leaves the country. And she goes and works somewhere else.
She couldn't even be in the same apartment with you for 3 months before she was like, peace out, boy. I got to dip.
Yeah. Like,
that's an inner inflection. That's gotta be some
interaction. And I know when they start their friendship that really leads to the relationship, like, I know they're both in a broken and vulnerable place, but I don't feel like he was broken enough. And I didn't think like her breaking was made sense. Does that work? Does that make sense there?
Okay. So we're still at the beginning of this book, right? No, chapter 4. Hell. By this point in the book, we have several characters that are in the Josh and Ari universe, helping things stay, well, messy. We have Josh's family, his sister and his mother, Ari's friends, who she may or may not have slept with, and all of Josh and Ari's exes. Do you feel this book, with all these characters, built us a filled-out, fully developed world?
I don't know how to answer that because I don't think Ari ever has had a friend other than Radha. Radna? Yeah. What is her name?
Radna.
Radha?
Rodney? No, R-A-D-H-Y-A.
Radha?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember how to say it.
I haven't either.
Radna, maybe.
Radna. Radna.
I don't think she's ever had a friend besides Radna.
Nobody
that she, I mean, and Radna actually calls her out for this, right? She's like, every friend you've ever had, you slept with. She doesn't believe that Ari hasn't slept with Josh because you don't have friends.
Seriously. I'm your only friend. She says that. I'm your only friend.
Right. And Ari says, I think you might be my soulmate and you're the only one of my friends that doesn't sleep with women. I know you've been able to keep exes around, but I can't. There's nobody in my life that I have dated.
None?
Nobody.
Maybe it's the queer
person. Except for Tom, because I married him.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you stopped, like... No, not going down that road. No. We're going to close that door. No, we're good.
I don't understand how people can stay friends with exes. And I guess because for me, my heart lives in my vagina. If I had slept with anybody, like, there's no way I could see them again.
So the ones that are, okay, like, my previous sleeping friends, that we're just friends, but we kind of hooked up a time or two. He has a normal life. I have a normal life. We see each other on social medias. We're like, we wish each other a happy birthday text. That's that.
I'm not even Facebook friends with these guys.
Like him, that's fine. But like my high school sweetheart, Brian, he and I text each other on each other's birthdays. We check in. Like when my Aunt Rhea died, he lived near Rhea. He knew how special she was to me. He called me. Like, we were special to each other in a way that it doesn't matter that we're, you know what I mean? That connection doesn't die off, if that makes sense to you.
It doesn't make sense to me. I understand what you're saying, but to me as a person, like who I am, that is not how I operate.
Yeah.
So the world, Ari's world and Josh's world, they cross over in a lot of ways because Radna is a chef.
Yeah.
And she works in Josh's kitchen at one point. And, you know, Josh is a chef.
Yeah.
Josh's sister is a social media influencer and her professor was Ari's Radna's wife.
Wife, yeah. Like,
The guy that she was sleeping in a situationship. Or not even that. They were just banging.
Roommates. They were fuck buddy roommates.
At the beginning of the at the beginning of the book, I can't think of his name, but he ends up, he's a comic too, and he's, what?
They were in the same troupe too. They were in like a comic troupe
together. And they are still friends.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think I'm secure enough in myself that I would be happy to be in a relationship like that. I wouldn't like it if Tom was still friends with his exes.
Okay.
And I think Josh is uncomfortable with the fact that Ari is still with, hanging out with all these people.
But Josh realizes in this book, he does some self-reflection after him and Ari, you know, end things. We're jumping ahead. I don't even care. He does some self-reflection, you know, after him and Ari end things, and he starts seeing a therapist. He realizes that he deserves better. He's like, oh, shit. I'm letting these women treat me this way. Maybe
that needed
to
happen for both characters.
Yeah.
So this book is loosely based on or inspired by When Harry Met Sally. Okay. Yeah. Even
like
the
she
cover
talks about it in the author's notes. She's super.
And even
into
the
it.
Cover sort of looks like the poster, movie poster for When Harry Met Sally.
Fan art.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I don't even know how to explain it. Just go see When Harry Met Sally. Just watch it. It's
just
really
rent
good.
It. It's on one of the many streaming platforms you own.
Sure. Or go to your library and borrow it. I'm sure they have it. It's probably on Hoopla. Anyway, so both characters have these years of being in and out of each other's lives because of different circumstances. But both characters have to grow up and change.
Yes.
Both of them
And here's the wild thing about this book. They're growing and changing at different paces, right?
Yeah.
And they both need different life experiences to get to the point where they need to be in this book for them to be happily together.
But I would argue that the only change that Ari makes is realizing that she's good enough for Josh. I don't think she really did self-growth. I don't think that she did the work she needed to do. She just left.
Yeah.
And then realized,
away.
I miss him.
She ran away. So let's, you know, Ari hides like her relationship too. Like that is not a mature adult thing, right?
Right.
Even she's sitting here telling Radia that I am not dating him.
That's how
Radia.
You say name.
Yeah. She was telling Radia, look, I'm not sleeping him. I'm not this. And she goes, why are you lying about it? Why are you hiding it from me then? Mm-hmm. Like, but I mean, it was her nemesis. What was she supposed to do?
I really deeply disliked Radia. She was not a character I liked. If there were a sequel to this book and the world still, like, in the same world, I would not want a Radia book.
But why? What was wrong with her?
She is very immature as a friend. You don't get to be jealous and claim Ari when you don't want that kind of relationship with her.
But
there's a comic. There's a comic, Fortune Feinstein, I think is her name.
Yes, yes.
And she talks about, so she's a lesbian, and she talks about how she went to a Christian college and like she didn't realize she was gay. And looking back on her like adolescence, when her best friend got her first boyfriend, she like went in this spiral about how upset she was. And her mom's like, why are you so upset? And she's like, 'cause she's my friend. And then like, as an adult woman who realized her sexuality, she's like, oh, because I wanted something from her that we weren't going to have.
Yeah.
And that's all I see there. Radia is wanting the benefits without actually having the sex.
But Ari also saved Radia after her marriage was over, right? Ari was there and supported her during that.
How is it fair that she did
not.
That for her and
it's
Radia
not.
Doesn't do the same for Ari?
What I'm saying is Radia is mad. Her crutch needs a crutch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it is.
And that crutch is not her. That you would want somebody else that you can depend on. But I'm sorry. She didn't feel like she could talk to Radia about these things because Radia didn't really understand her relationship with her wife and never thought they should get married to begin with.
Right. And now Radia's mad. Now Radia's mad that her and Josh are friends. So we've made it to the divorce in the book. Mm-hmm. Josh and Ari are watching movies over the phone together. They're either texting, FaceTiming, or whatever.
Super cute.
And It's super cute. And like, we have this whole long story, right? And it comes to a head when Radia finds out. And like, turn of events happen. They both realize they have feelings for each other. They fall into bed to each other. Ari accidentally says, I love you. And then she freaks out.
Yeah.
And Josh's mom helps her escape.
Yeah.
What was Ari thinking?
I think that's what she was thinking. What was I thinking?
She really goes AWOL from their lives, right? Like, she doesn't just disappear on Radia. She disappears from Josh. She disappears from the troop. She disappears from, like, all of her obligations in New York.
I think we're supposed to think, oh, she's afraid because the first time she gave into love, it burned her, and she doesn't want to do that again. But the truth is, I just don't feel like there was enough character growth for that storyline to actually flesh out.
Okay. I have a bell ringer for this, actually.
That's fine. I forgot I had a bell.
Okay, so I have a bell. That the thing you just said is my bell ringer, but I also have another bell ringer. So in this whole mess, right, Josh is butthurt throughout this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason he is pouting isn't because this girl broke up with him. It's because his stupid fancy dinner restaurant idea didn't pick up in his dad's old spot. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting home and just moping about not being able to cook anymore. Boy doesn't go out and get a job. Boy doesn't try to find out something new. He doesn't try to discover himself again. What does he do? He sits home and pouts and looks at all the furniture his mom brought.
Is he pouting or is he depressed and doesn't know how to process that?
Both.
I think he had spent his whole life being told from his dad, this is the only way to do it. He wanted to elevate things and found out that nobody wanted his elevation
because I think they wanted an too hard. He overcorrected too hard.
Right. Yeah. He didn't want to live in his dad's shadow at all. So he went completely AWOL.
He didn't just go elevated deli. He was just like elevated cuisine. We are going to be spectacular. We're going to have a Michelin star. We're going to be amazing.
Do you watch The Bear?
It gives me too much anxiety.
This is exactly what happened in The Bear. The last season ended where we assume everything's going to fall apart because they got a bad review. But they had this essentially a Chicago deli.
Yeah.
And they closed that and they're doing a fine dining establishment. It's the same thing.
I stopped on the Christmas episode, the flashback Christmas episode, because it was just...
That is one of my favorite episodes.
It gives me too much anxiety. It's very much a...
Oh, it's a really heavy episode, but the guest stars in that episode are so quality. Like, they're so amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis is incredible.
Yeah. I'll eventually jump back into The Bear. It was just really triggering for me, and I can't explain why. But anyway, yes.
That episode really isn't connected to the rest. I mean, other than, like, the trauma of how awful their mom is.
Yeah.
It's really not connected to the best, to the rest.
So, the end gets messy. Because, well, Ari, she returns to New York City.
And Josh, they're both messy.
Yes. She returns to New York City to see the launch of Radia and Josh's pop-up. They come up with some elevated deli bullshit, whatever. And she's trying to fix things with both of them. Things to see smoothed over with Radia with a few cuss word nicknames and some candy. But Josh isn't having it. In my notes, it literally says Josh stands on business. Because he did in those moments. He stood up for himself to Ari for the first time ever, which I feel is true. Do you think he was right for telling her off? Does Ari get to come back like nothing happened?
I guess I'm not remembering that, but I don't really think. Okay. Yes. I remember now. No, she cannot just be like, none of that happened. Like, she can't just ignore all of it. No. He's absolutely right that I'm not going to pretend like this never happened and move on.
Good.
Unfortunately, that is the life that she's created. She's slept with these people that she's still friends with and it's no big deal. And that's not the relationship she has with Josh.
No.
It's not.
There's too much
regardless if they
heavier.
It, regardless if they said they were dating or not, that entire time they were dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you've got mail. Like, they're dating that whole time.
Right. It was, okay, in You Got Mail, they were having an emotional affair. Mm-hmm. That's all You Got Mail was an emotional affair. Okay, in the end, Ari has an airport run. Did this live up to the rom-com standards that they were calling it?
It really bothered me that they called it an airport run when it was really the end of When Harry Met Sally. When you realize that you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, yeah, you want the Which rest I of your have, life to start right yeah. away. That's what it really was. It was not an airport run. It wasn't a she got off the plane situation. Like, it wasn't that. I mean, although I guess he did stop running and turn around. But what I thought was interesting, and here is my bell ringer.
Okay.
It is never established that Josh was friends with the guy friend of hers whose name escapes me. Mm-hmm. That Josh's phone number would be in that guy's phone.
Yes.
And yet Ari is worried. And you
have it memorized.
Right. Ari is worried that Josh will have her phone blocked. So she takes that guy's phone and goes to the race right. and texts him from there. And I think it's supposed to be like a modern day run through the airport or whatever. Right. Like she came to where he was right. and they were texting or right. whatever. But you've never established that he would have this phone number that like it's never established. It really bugged me.
This ending bugged me.
It took me out of it.
It did too. This ending. Well, what took me out of it was I read at the end, the author has like this whole long note about, so I have a note about this. The author is a When Harry Met Sally stan. Like she has a whole note about this. Do you mm-hmm. think this lives up to like the whole like final part of this book? Does it live up to the book movie?
No. And you are never going to live up to that. When Harry Met Sally is the standard for many rom-coms. It was a pivotal change in the rom-com genre. Mm-hmm. And first of all, the cast is stellar. You've got Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. Carrie motherfucking Fisher is in it. Like, don't do this. Don't try to be When Harry Met Sally. Don't.
And then, in the end, they get engaged in a sex shop. Yay, nay, does this work?
No.
The engagement in the sex shop was for Ari. It wasn't for Josh.
It would have never happened. It would have been cute if they would have like, oh, this is where we met, whatever. But it isn't even where they met. They met at Ari's old apartment.
Yeah.
It was really vulgar. It was a disaster of an ending.
Yes. April Goodreads, final thoughts. Did I miss any?
I gave it a 3.25. I'm going to look at Goodreads real quick because does she have other books? Like, is she?
No, this is the only one I saw of hers.
Because I don't want to read her again. If you put her on pod, I would have to. There's a book on here called Daddy Issues.
No.
That's supposed to come out this year.
No. Here's the deal. We each get one veto. Just use your permanent veto on Kate, because I'm going to.
Well, if you're going to do it, I'm not going to waste my veto on this. I'm going to do that dumbass who wrote Big Swiss. Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
I wish that would have been the lost episode compared to Lost Apothecary.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? What's really frustrating to me about this book is that it was on both of our TBRs. Like, you put it on pod, but both of us had it on our TBRs. This was a book that we both wanted to read.
80s and 90s rom-coms raised me.
Right.
So
Bridget Jones is still one of my favorite movies. I still watch the series constantly.
If you tell me this is fucking Meg Ryan, mm-mm. It better be Meg Ryan!
It's not even close. Ari is... I don't know what to say about her. She's like a pixie sprite nightmare.
She's a pixie dream girl, but she's not.
I know.
She's not.
Instead of being the pixie dream girl, she's a pixie nightmare.
Might as well add AIDS and drugs into this and we have fucking rent.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I should tell you. AZT break. Oh, no. What is it? I always sing La Vie Boheme.
I love La Vie Boheme.
there's a lot of words in that that just trigger me. Like, it tastes the same. If anybody says it tastes the same, I go, if you close your eyes.
If you close your eyes.
15 orders of fries. Is that it here?
Wine and beer.
To handcrafted beers made in
there local are so breweries. Many like small parts of that that I didn't get when Rent first came out in the 90s because I didn't know all of that like niche, you know, but like as an adult I'm like
I was singing it full chest, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. No idea we were talking about
sex. Hey, mister, she's my sister.
You want to talk about what we got coming up?
Yeah. So actually, so this was the end of February. So let's talk about March. We are taking on Brandon Sanderson for the first time in March.
I cannot
believe our first March book is Tress of the Emerald Sea. And I know, guys, if you are a Brandon Sanderson fan, we know this is not where you're supposed to start. By the way, this is a library copy. Support local libraries. We know this is not where you're supposed to.
They need to if they say that.
We know this is not where you're supposed to start with the Brandon Sanderson Omniverse. I don't know.
Multiverse?
I think it's Omniverse. I don't know. Anyway, whatever, we know that. Whatever. But it's where we're starting. So
we need something simple.
Yeah. So that's where we're starting in March. And then the second book in March, I don't have a copy of it, so we'll put it right here. It is the Sundown Motel. Is that right?
By Simone St. James.
The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. So we're going to get into a little bit of thrillers, which I...
And I was told that's not where you're supposed to start with her either, but fucking I don't care.
Listen, I think I'm ready. I don't think I've ever said this before, but I think I'm ready for a thriller. Tress is fantasy, so I'm still getting like some then we're gonna go on to this book, Tempest of Tea,
and another book that was on both of our TV yards.
Fazel is maybe how you say her name. I'll look up how to actually pronounce it, but I saw this book in my library. I own this copy, but I saw this book in my library and went, that is fucking beautiful. It what is, pretty, is this book it? About? I had no idea. But then when you look at the blurbs on the back, Rebecca Ross, who wrote Divine Rivals, who we loved, Allie Hazelwood and Holly Black, all authors that we have liked for the pod. So we've made a concerted effort this year to read more diversely, not just in queer and hetero, but in more racial diversity. So we're making a concerted effort because, you know, we should read diversely. So we're going to read that one. And then we are going to wrap out the month with our good friend Emma Berry and her newest book, Bold Moves.
I am so
which she sent us. Book. These are uncorrected copies. These are ARCs. And I could not be more excited for this book. It actually goes on sale goes live on April 22nd, not our episode, the book. You can purchase it now. You can pre-order it now. But it will be on bookshelves. Yeah. It will be on bookshelves on April 22nd. And man, I'm so excited. I actually am having lunch with Emma Berry this weekend. So I had a fear that she's going to ask me if I've liked the book because we've had it for a few weeks, but I haven't started it yet. But there's no way I'm not going to like it. Her writing is phenomenal. I've now read two of her books and have a third one on my Kindle and then this one. And I did a really deep dive in her back catalog, and I don't even think I told you this, but I was trying to see what other books of hers I could acquire. And there is a novella collection that she's in that Olivia's also in. And I need to ask her about this because I can buy it for $121.
We're not buying books this year.
It's out of print, so I can't get it for... I haven't. The only books I bought this year, I bought a few books at Barnes & Noble's half price hardbacks. Okay. The day after Christmas, Tempest of Tea was one of them. And I pre-ordered the books from my favorites. And then I did buy two books that I really, really want to read because they were deeply discounted because the sequels are coming out next month and they're getting rid of the hardback editions because the paperback editions are coming out.
Of course.
So I bought those because they're deeply discounted, but I'm only buying with gift cards and if people gift me stuff. I'm not spending my own money until I have read down my my physical TBR.
That's smart. That's going to take me a minute.
I have like 60 books on there on my physical TBR. It's insane.
I'm afraid to up count that. I'm not going to lie.
I did a TBR jar for March. Spoiler, because I haven't obviously read it yet. But interestingly, I pulled a book that came out last week that I really wanted to read. And I was of all the things in this jar, I pulled the newest TJ Klune.
Good job.
Storygraph is going to think that's my favorite author because this will be the third book this year I've read by him.
He's definitely up there.
He's definitely up there. So that's what we've got coming up for March. We have a killer season. I'm excited.
I mean, we say it all the time. Like, we have great books, but there's great books this season, guys.
Yeah. We have some other new exciting things coming up. We'll tell you more about those in the upcoming episodes. We definitely are going to be live somewhere this summer, which we'll tell you more about when we have more info.
Things happening.
We're going to have some other things going on that we'll let you know about as soon as it's all settled.
You know, secrets and wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. You guys know how it is. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Sounds good. Bye guys.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book is You Again by Kate Goldbeck. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and Ava Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prejada. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.